Well, welcome to Lent, everybody. Here we are. I hope that everyone enjoyed the beginning, the actual beginning of Lent, which of course was this past Wednesday, and that rare event. Those of you who were here on Ash Wednesday got to hear me talk about it, but it's that confluence of holidays, of very unlikely holiday partners, Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day, right? A lot of fun. Pretty rare occurrence, as I mentioned to folks who were here. It happened last in 2019, but prior to that, it had not happened since 1945. So it's really kind of a, you know, there's all sorts of different things that go into the timing of Lent based on phases of the moon and all these other things, but it's relatively rare for the 2 days to come together. And of course, when they do come together, it makes for some good, you know, cheesy jokes. You've got your combination Ash Wednesday Valentine's cards and things like that. You may have seen some people posting those on social media or whatnot. And there was one that I saw that made a lot of sense. It's this Valentine's card, and it said, "You can't spell Valentine's without Lent." Lent times. Maybe it's not that funny. I thought it was funny. But I think it's a good reminder, too, of all of the different kind of collisions and collusions of different days of observance that we have during this time of year. You know, this is a busy time of year with all sorts of different holidays and tradition days and things like that. You know, we had just back on February 1st, that's the beginning of spring in Celtic culture, and that's why that St. Bridget's Day is celebrated on that day. But it's also the Celtic holiday of Imbolc, and that's also Groundhog Day, which kind of relates to that, believe it or not. And we didn't celebrate it here, and it's one of those days we don't get to celebrate that often. But Candlemas, which is, you know, blessing of the candles for the year. And believe it or not, all of these days, the Celtic Spring and Groundhog Day and Candlemas and even the beginning of Lent they all have kind of a primal connection. They're all based seasonally on the time of the year that we're in, which of course is, even though it's not officially spring yet, I think you can kind of feel like spring is here, right? Or spring is coming anyway, right? It doesn't feel like winter anymore. It's, you know, I know California, right? We don't really get the sense of the seasons that you do in some other places, but spring, even here is kind of this transitional time where we're moving from, you know, a little bit colder, darker weather in the winter into the endless summer that we love so much. And it's kind of a chaotic and wild time too. You know, we've been having, obviously we've been having some wild weather. I wasn't expecting to get poured on the way here down from Oceanside, but I actually hit this period of just little patch of just super hard rain. And it's, you know, that's pretty typical of spring around here. It's just kind of, it's a wild time. It's like nature's waking up, or nature's, you know, going through that awkward toddler phase or something like that. And you know, the word Lent actually comes from an Old English word for spring. It literally means spring. And it's the same word, has the same root that we get the word length. And so that, if you think about it, we're at a time where the days are starting to become longer, right? You know, we're getting out of the darkness, the short days of winter. We're starting to see some more length. And so that's where that word Lent comes from. And so life, it's like life starting to wake back up a little bit, right? After all these storms. Now, the storms, of course, have been, you know, kind of a pain. You know, there's been a lot of water, a lot of flooding, a lot of issues related to that. But there's also been a pretty cool side effect of all of these storms, and I don't know if you all have noticed, but there's been a whole lot of really spectacular rainbows. Anybody seen any of those rainbows? Yeah, they've been pretty awesome. And rainbows are just fascinating when you think about it, right? Because a rainbow isn't really a thing, right? It's not a thing that has substance. It's a phenomena, but it's really just light. And it's light that you're seeing in a different way because of the moisture in the air. It's the spectrum of light being broken down into individual colors. It doesn't have a beginning or an end. If you've tried to get to the end of the rainbow, it doesn't work. Trust me. It has a powerful symbolism that people for centuries and millennia have grasped onto for that reason. It represents unity and diversity, I think, and that's a big part of the reason why the rainbow is used for the pride flag, right? Because that idea of a spectrum of difference and all being one at the same time. Then we have that reading from Genesis today, where, of course, the famous symbol of the rainbow related to the flood and Noah. And in that reading, the rainbow is a symbol of God's interconnectedness with all of creation, right? Notice that it's not just humanity, but God says he's making a covenant with every living creature of all flesh. And then the rainbow is a powerful symbol in other mythology as well. It was used in ancient Egyptian cultures and many other ancient Norse cultures. If y'all ever heard of the Rainbow Bridge, you know, talking about someone going over the Rainbow Bridge, that comes from this idea in a lot of traditional cultures of the rainbow symbolizing the connection between the spiritual and the physical world. I just had a pretty interesting rainbow experience not that long ago. This was closer to the New Year, but Max and I went out to Anza Borrego, to the desert, for a little boys' day out. We like to go to the desert. And it was one of these days like this where it's kind of between stormy and clear. And so as we're driving in the San Felipe Hills, which is just kind of a big open area, we see this rainbow. And Max tells me, go, Daddy, go to the end of the rainbow. And so I kept chasing. And as we kept driving, every time we'd get close to what seemed to be the end of the rainbow, all of a sudden it would be further away. And in this big, expansive area where there's, you know, no basically unbroken horizon in every direction, it was really interesting to see, to get a grasp of how this rainbow really does have no end. It was the strangest thing to be able to experience, and it just gave a sense of the rainbow being both beautiful and ephemeral at the same time. It was there, but it wasn't, and no matter how much you kept chasing it, it kept going. And what was interesting to me was that it took going out into the desert, out into the wilderness, to really be able to see what that the endlessness of the rainbow. And so, of course, wilderness is a common theme for Lent. And I wonder, this Lent season, how might God be calling us out into the wilderness to see things differently? How might a wilderness experience help us to see things for what they really are? Now, our gospel reading today is the same reading. You know, it's funny, I didn't catch it until I started reading it, right, in Matthew, because it's the same reading, it's the same story. It's always a little bit different depending on what gospel you read, but it's the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert, right? And the one from Mark that we read today doesn't quite have the same level of detail that the one from Matthew or Luke, you know, doesn't have all of the questions, that the challenges and Jesus' responses. It basically says, oh, here's, you know, Jesus went into the desert, he was tempted, and he was done. And that's kind of Mark's thing. He sees it as this episode in the story of Jesus' ministry, from his calling to his baptism to his temptation, and then immediately to the start of his ministry. And some theologians have pointed out that a part of this going into the desert for Jesus, especially the way Mark frames it, is that Jesus is doing what the people of Israel did, right? He's going out into the wilderness to seek and to learn to be closer to God. He goes out for 40 days. Of course, Israel went out for 40 years, but that 40 is still in there, and that's, of course, the reason why we have 40 days of Lent. And Jesus, in a way, is kind of revisiting the steps of his ancestors, and he's maybe even trying to reconnect with the whole reason they went out there in the first place. Maybe he's recognizing that the true call of Yahweh, that wild God of the burning bush, has been kind of domesticated in his time, and he's trying to find out how to rewild his calling, how to rediscover it and revitalize it. The wilderness in the Bible is a place of testing, right? But it's also a place of connecting. Always when people are called out into the desert in the wilderness, they're called to connect more deeply with God. And it's a place of discernment and finding out who we really are, who we're really called to be. If you think about it, the people of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they could have just went straight to the Promised Land, right? If you look at a map, you know, the distance from Egypt to Israel is not that far. The whole Sinai area is not a big place. Getting stuck there for 40 years is kind of an unlikely thing, right? But if they would have just gone straight there, would they have been formed into the people that God truly wanted them to be? I'm not sure. It's a pattern, I think, that's repeated in the history of the church, even when Christianity was made into the religion of the Roman Empire in the fourth century, when the Emperor Constantine was converted and it became the official religion. There was a group of people that were known as the Desert Mothers and Fathers, and they went out into the Egyptian desert to try to rediscover what it really meant to be followers of Jesus. And they were the forefathers of all the monastic movements that we have throughout the history of the church. That was sort of the birth of monasticism, was those people going out into the desert to really seek God, because the way that they saw it, their faith, by becoming the faith of the empire, had become domesticated. They needed to go out and make it wild again. They needed to go out into the wilderness. That need for wilderness is something that indigenous cultures have understood, you know, for centuries, for millennia. This idea of going out on a vision quest, right? That's something that young people in indigenous cultures went out and they spent time in the wilderness. They connected with who they were. This was a rite of passage into adulthood. They were able to know who they truly were. And I think any of us, if you've done any kinds of, you know, camping or going out into the wilderness, or just even, you know, spending some quiet time in nature, I think you can relate, right, to how it is how being out, just disconnecting yourself from the everyday can reveal something to you. So am I saying we need to schedule a wilderness retreat for Lent? I mean, we could. I would love that personally. I don't think I have time, honestly, and it's, you know, the weather's not great. But I wonder if there are ways that we can find ways to connect with wildness, with the wilderness in our daily lives. Are there practices? Because Lent's all about practice. Are there practices that we can use to undomesticate our faith? One thing we might consider is when Jesus comes out of the desert, he calls everybody to repentance, right? Repentance in the Bible doesn't mean weeping and gnashing of teeth and feeling terrible about yourself. It's the word is metanoia in Greek, and that means just checking yourself and making a course correction. It means taking stock of where you're at and making an adjustment. So maybe we just need to ask ourselves, maybe our practice is asking ourselves, how do our values, how do our actions stack up to the way of love that's demonstrated by Jesus? And that can get very practical, right? It's how do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? What are you consuming? Not just food, but what are you listening to? What are you reading? Who are you listening to? Going into the wilderness is sometimes it's about deprivation. It's about letting things go. Not to torture yourself, right? But to figure out what you really need. And are the practices in your life really feeding you? Are they feeding your soul? Now, Jesus went into the wilderness with nothing. Nothing at all. And the angels and the wild animals took care of him, right? I'm not suggesting that as a backpacking or camping strategy, right? That probably won't end well. But what if this Lent we could engage in practices like that where we trust that God is going to lead us, where we trust in the goodness of God? Maybe we don't need to stockpile and store things up quite as much as we feel like we need to sometimes. Maybe we don't have to build our fences higher to keep out whoever it is or whatever it is that we're afraid of. And maybe we can get more comfortable with not having to always have the last word, not always having the answer to every question, even though we've got Google right on our phones, right? Not always having to have the proper interpretation, the correct interpretation, being comfortable with not always knowing. The wilderness experience, no matter where we find it, no matter what context, if it's in our daily lives, it's about teaching us what's essential and learning what's eternal, as opposed to what's just something that we've set up to make ourselves more comfortable. I heard an old Yoruba proverb this week from the Yoruba people of Nigeria. And it says, to truly find your way, one must first become lost. So I wonder if we can trust God enough to become lost. Can we lose ourselves? Can we chase the rainbows? We can chase the rainbows across the desert without having to find the pot of gold at the end, without having to know where the end is. And maybe we'll find that the reward in all of that, the pot of gold, is not some material reward, but a fresh set of eyes where we can see the glory and the provision and the grace of God that's in our lives already. Always and already there. I pray this with you this Lenten season in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.